Oh, Scott.
Okay, so Paul and I are old friends, and so when Theron gave us a chance to get together and talk about some subjects that we love that have some Bible context to them, I just jumped at the chance. So this is Paul Hawthorne. He preaches for the East Tacoma Church of Christ. I am Scott Beyer, and I preach for the Monroe Valley Church of Christ. And then starting in March, I'll be preaching for the Eastland Church of Christ in Louisville, Kentucky. So, Paul, when we talked ahead of time, I said, "Hey, what, Paul, what do you want to talk about?" And you brought up this idea of being overcomers. And can you talk for just a second about why that subject is so important, right now? And then, what does it mean to be an overcomer?
Well, great stuff, Scott. And by the way, hi, everybody. Just a joy to be with you from snowy Washington, which is somewhat unusual, but we got it this year. The idea of an overcomer, it's somewhat self-explanatory, but the idea is to prevail, to succeed, to be victorious in respect to any of the obstacles, reversals, challenges, disasters that people face in life. It's used some 35 times in the Bible, so it's certainly a Bible subject. And the idea is, can you and I maintain a confidence in God in the face of massive reversals and still have a victorious spirit? Because life tends to crush you. And Satan wants to do it. And certainly that was Job's situation. And everybody has, and some of them are overwhelming. And God says, there's light through the darkness, there's a path through the forest, and you can overcome. Scott?
Yeah, I think one of the things that this pandemic has brought out is the reality that life will throw you curveballs, right? I mean, we kind of got thrown a worldwide curveball, and everybody's lives changed. And you see, as Christians, this idea of learning to roll with those things is okay. Because you know that God will take care of it. And you brought up Job. Job is kind of the classic example of a guy who had to overcome. And lots of us, we don't like to talk about him because it's almost like the answer is, well, no matter what I'm going through, Job had it worse. So that's not very comforting, but that's what we tell people. Hey, it could be worse. But the trade-off to Job is, when you look at him, he was a guy who learned that life isn't about what you have, it's about who you trust. And that's what I think gets to the heart of how Christians overcome, right? We overcome, I think it's 1 John chapter 5, that says, who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Like, that's the overcoming aspect, right, for us as Christians. I think, like Job, one of the verses that you and I talked about, Job 19, right? I know that my Redeemer lives. There's something powerful when you know that you're overcoming not by your own strength, but by the strength of him who loves you. I just don't know how people do it without God, honestly.
Yeah, not very well.
Yeah.
And think in Job's situation, and we'll bounce off of that in just a moment, but the Lord was the center of his life, very spiritual. He prayed for his family, sacrificed for them, upright. And in 15 minutes' time, or whatever, he lost every bit of his wealth. He was the Bill Gates, $110 billion, and you just lost it, plus all of your children. And then your health, your wife's confidence, your friends turned against you, and your family wants nothing to do with you. Outside of that, it's been a nice day. And what he says is just blows us away. He said, the Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Paul, that's just how you think every day, isn't it? Yet no. We are amazed by him. And yet it wasn't all up, because sometimes he said, I wish I was never born. And he fought through all these things. But the core that anchored him was his trust in God. Mm-hmm. And so as we look at that, Scott, talk to us about why we need to be overcomers.
Well, I think the answer is because everybody's going to have challenges. You can't, the common theme of humanity is not victory, it's defeat. That's the common theme throughout all history. And it's sad, but it's true. Everybody suffers, but not everybody has good things happen to them. So there are people who go their whole life and it's only negative things that happen. But you never have somebody who goes their whole life and never has a negative happen, right? So if you're going to go through life, you're going to have challenges. It's just the way it is. Now, some of those may be self-inflicted wounds. Those happen. You think about David and Bathsheba, that's a self-inflicted wound. But it's still a challenge that had to be overcome because it affected his family, it affected his life, it affected the kingdom. Some of those challenges may have nothing to do with you personally. You didn't do anything wrong, but you have a health issue. And all of a sudden, bam, you're hit with cancer. You're hit with a terminal illness of some sort, or just something that's debilitating. I mean, Paul, you and I know people who've been in car wrecks and they've lost their legs, or, one lady that was just walking out on an icy day, just like we have right now in Washington and in Louisville, because we both have the ice right now, walking out to her car, fell between two cars, and was laid there. Because nobody found her, because between the two cars, she laid there for hours and hours and hours. The leg got infected because the bone shot out of the skin and she had to have an amputation. She didn't do anything wrong, but her whole life has been impacted by it. How do you overcome stuff like that? And so the answer to why do we need to be overcomers is because life has a lot to overcome. And Paul, I'm sure you have other examples or challenges that you can think of that I haven't touched on there.
Well, and think of what Jesus said in John 16, verse 33. In me, you have peace. Oh, good. In the world, you have tribulation. Just because you're in Christ doesn't mean here's the magic bubble. Nothing bad ever happens.
Yep.
Job said in Job 14, verse 1, man that is born of woman is few of days and full of trouble. I mean, everybody has plenty on their plate. And we'll talk about maybe some of the great examples that maybe we both know or know independently of people that not only are set a good example, they set a good example for me.
Right.
How do they do that? I think that's one of the things I do is I mentor. But I get mentored by the great example of people that, wow. And they say, oh, yeah, I'm right there. And so we can talk about that because we all need it, both in life, in 1 John 5:4, whoever is born of God overcomes the world. And for salvation, Revelation chapter 2 and in verse 7, he who overcomes shall eat of the tree of life. And in Revelation 3:5, we'll walk in white garments.
Mm-hmm.
We get disappointed in ourselves sometimes because when I was a brand new Christian, I grew up in Ohio. When I was a brand new Christian, I thought, wow, I'm going to leave all of that behind and I'm going to be perfect and I'll never sin again.
All going to be great. You come out of the waters of baptism and then it's just smooth sailing, right?
And that lasted. Day.
And yeah, me too, Paul.
We get disappointed in ourselves. God, I want to do so much better. Forgive me. I'm going to do better. And we do grow, but we face life. One of our brothers in our congregation repeatedly talks about, well, that just shows you're part of the and have the human condition. And so we do. We struggle with all kinds of things. Death of a spouse, death of a child, divorce, drug use, alcohol abuse, abandonment, physical, sexual, emotional abuse, mental illness, dementia, poverty, fear, isolation, depression, kids making poor choices, low self-esteem, bad habits, all kinds of things. Man, there's a great arena for us to develop these qualities of being an overcomer. Scott?
Yeah, and along with that, you know, one of the things that I think we have to build into our lives is realizing the challenges are not one-dimensional, right? So as you listen, you've got all these different things. So you got the external stuff happening to you, you got the internal struggles that you're going through, and it's one after the other. I mean, it's like as soon as you get through one struggle, there's probably another one on the horizon. I mean, I hate to say it, there's this kind of pessimistic part of me that whenever things are really good, I'm like, what's coming? And so building a lifestyle of being an overcomer. It's like being a healthy person, right? You don't just eat one salad. You don't go, hey, I ate a salad once, so I'm a healthy eater. No. It's going to take more than one salad. Being an overcomer is a lifestyle. It's more than one thing because you're going to have more than one challenge along the way. However, having said that, I do think that success in one area often breeds success in another area.
Absolutely.
You probably have found this too, that people who have overcome one challenge tend to be just generally better at facing other challenges because they're all kind of the same thing. You had an expectation and then, you know, I thought my day would be like this. And then it turns out my day isn't just like this. It's actually 6 feet under the basement. Bad, right? And so how do I deal with that? I'm driving along the road and all of a sudden the tire blows out. Well, wait a second. We were going to grandma's house. It was going to be great. And now I'm on the side of the road and I've got to change this tire and I'm wearing my nice clothes. And so how do you deal with when the day or the year or life overall did not turn out the way you thought it would? One of the things that, Paul, I know you mentioned off air was the danger when we run into challenges is to turn to bitterness.
Yes.
And so how about you talk about that for a second? Because I think that's a huge, that's the flip side of it, right? If you're not an overcomer, the other option can be to get stuck in bitterness.
Great point, Scott. Think about, the aspect of in the book of Ruth and Naomi, hey, well, we got tough times in Judea. There's famine. So we're going to go over, you know, to the next door neighbors here, the Moabites, and, you know, we're going to open a little shop and sell trinkets.
It's going to be fine.
It'll be fine. Yeah. And our boys, they marry good-looking women who are devoted, and then Naomi husband dies, then the next son dies, and the next son dies.
Yep.
And she returns and says, don't call me Naomi, pleasantness, but Mara. She's bitter. You say, Paul, you understand just how she feels, right? No. People say, oh, yeah, I know just how it was. You lose someone and say, my dog died last. I'm going to choke him. You know,
don't compare my loss to your dog that died. That's yeah.
It's crazy when people do that. The most helpful thing is to say, I can't imagine how much that has devastated you, but I just want you to know you have my heart.
And I find that, just so you know, I find that to be a phrase that I fall back on over and over and over again is, I can't imagine what you've been through, because I really can't. I mean, that's just the truth. You can't imagine. Everybody's pain is their own.
Yeah, exactly. And so if you don't have God, I started out as an atheist, and man, it was just a hole in me. And Psalm 84 and verse 5 said, "How blessed is the man whose strength is in thee." They go from strength to strength. But if you don't have that, or if you've been pounded by life and you internalize that and you're angry with God and angry with everybody around you, I've come across a couple of people. I know, met one and knew the other one. This guy had been withdrawn from by somebody, you know, 30 years ago. He was an old guy in his 80s, had one arm and whatnot. He had a notebook that he kept, and he wanted to show me. The first time I met him, I look what they did to me. They withdrew from me, kept the receipt.
He kept a record of the wrongs against him.
A record that he wanted to show people. Another gal I know of fairly well has a box that all the hurts and insults, she literally maintains that. What?
No. Anyhow. You don't need a box, you need a burn barrel.
Yes. Well, there's the bitterness.
Yeah, you're reminded of, you're not supposed to keep a record of wrongs. What are they doing? They're literally keeping a record of wrongs. Wow.
And so, well, Scott, talk to us about why overcomers are such a rare breed.
Well, I think you talked about it a little bit right there, because I do think internalizing is, and just holding on to pain is part of it. And, you know, the flip side to the Naomi, I think, is Hannah. You have Hannah who had her heartache and her pain. I just want a child. And then she went to God and she prayed, and then she wiped her eyes and went her way. So it is a way to put it in the burn barrel, right? I think the reason that overcomers are so rare, and really, if you think about it, this isn't just something that Christians do. The whole world recognizes the value of people who overcome. You have somebody who's had some tragedy in their life, and then they go on to be an Olympic athlete. And we make specials over that, right? You get to see documentaries of people who have grown up in difficult situations and go on to be successful business people, or the swimmers who are missing limbs and yet they're swimming. There was the girl who was a surfer and she got bitten by a shark and lost limbs, and she's back out on the surfboard. We recognize people who face challenges and then come on the other side as being rare. And I think the reason it's rare is because the default is to quit, right? The default answer is that the average person, when faced with trial, will say, well, I'll give up, maybe go try and do something else, right? The average person doesn't lose their legs and say, I used to be a world-class runner. I lost my legs, so now let's go and win the Paralympics. The average person doesn't do that. The average person says, I'll never run again. And they internalize that and are devastated by it, but they don't think about what comes next. And so I think forward thinking people are the rarity who say, I face this. I'm not going to pretend I didn't, but I'm not going to let it define my future. I'm going to take whatever path I've been given, and I'm going to pursue it. Paul, you had some stats from the New York Post. Yeah, you want to talk about those?
I just came across them because I wondered about this. Well, you know, how do most people operate? New York Post just last year, January 28, 2020, said it takes 32 days for the average person to give up their resolutions.
Hey, I'm not average. I'm below average.
They said, but 68% of them is less than 32 days. 14% didn't even expect to succeed in the first place when they made them. So
everybody makes a New Year's resolution. I'm not going to keep it. I just said it. Yeah.
And so as we think about that kind of thing, sometimes people say, yeah, but see, it's, I don't think I can, and kind of all this internal, you know, defeatism. And when I was a young man, I wanted to be perfect. I thought that's what Christians are. And then you find out, man, I'm not flawless. And it took me a while before I'd bump into scriptures like Ecclesiastes 7 and in verse 20, there's not a righteous man alive who continually does good and never sins. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. It gets brighter and brighter to the full day. The path of the wicked is darkness. They don't know over what they stumble. Guy says, man, I don't know why all these bad things happen to me. What happened? Well, man, I fell down a manhole cover. I ran my truck into a telephone pole. Why'd you do that? Well, I had a little drink. You're smashed. You created those kind of things. And so, you know, people tell us, well, I'm just not good enough, or I failed. And rather than talking to ourselves positively, Romans 8 and verse 37, in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer. We don't just squeak by. We were made to be champions.
Yep.
But we don't think that way. God said, I know. And that's why I sent my son, because you have a destiny and it's success. And so what we need to think about is, do we really trust God, or are we going to listen to all our internal old tapes? And in a scripture that everybody knows and we like, Isaiah 40 and verse 31, but those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not faint. You have that, man, I am here. For how long? I am here.
As long as it takes.
As long as it takes. You go, ooh, all right. So,
well, and I think that's part of success, right? Is that you set your face towards Jerusalem, so to speak, right? You set your eyes and you say, this is where I'm going. And I don't know what trials are going to show up along the way. I'm going to count on there being challenges. Right, you assume there will be some. So some is lowering your expectation a little bit, right? It's not going to be perfect all the way through. We're going to have problems and struggles. But you set in your mind, it's that Daniel principle. He purposed in his heart, right? When you do that and you run into people who are doing that, the challenges, they don't know which challenge they're going to face. But whatever it is, we're going to get through it.
Yeah.
Because we have to. I mean, I've already decided who I'm going to be. If you wait for the challenge and the trial to decide who you're going to be, I can tell you who you're going to be. You're going to be the one who gives up, because it'll get hard.
Scott, tell us about Barry Bannister.
So yeah, Barry is a common friend of Paul and I, and he's paralyzed and has been, how long, Paul? I mean,
quadriplegic.
Yeah.
He was in the first young person Bible class that I ever taught. He was in it at 11 years old. He got into his teens, car accident, quadriplegic, and has been in a wheelchair ever since. Tell us about his attitude and accomplishment, Scott.
So I can't imagine what I would do if I ended up in Barry's position, but I know what Barry did, which is he went out and got an engineering degree. And he works for Boeing, and he has patents all over the place with his name on it because of his inventions. He's invented stuff for other quadriplegics to improve their life. He's a guy who, whenever the church doors are open, Barry's there. He goes up and he'll lead prayers. And I mean, you name it, he does it. And never once have I heard him complain.
Ever. 40 years, not one.
Yeah. And it's just, he's constantly facing challenges. He's had people over the years that he has a caregiver, right, that helps him with various things. And in the past, he's had difficulty keeping the same person. So it's like, just as soon as you get comfortable with somebody, then they're off on a new adventure. So you got to hire somebody else. Doesn't complain. He built his own house, designed it and had it built for him, you know, because he wanted, he's like, hey, you know, my life would be more comfortable if I had a shower like this, or if I had ramps instead of stairs, and I'd like a balcony I could go out on. And so instead of complaining that he was missing out, he said, well, how about I go and design my own house? And he did. And I mean, he's just somebody who every time he's been faced with problems, his attitude has been, okay, well, let's find a solution. Yeah. And man, I get faced with problems, and my first thought is, why me? Come on. Things were just rolling just fine. Why do I have to face that? And then I think about Barry. Just shut your mouth, Scott.
As those people in your respective congregations, you go, oh, wow. Let me just toss off a quick little series. In our congregation, Joe and Karen Bartle. Karen was diagnosed with a very rare form of leukemia, blood cancer, very aggressive, gone through all kinds of stuff. She gets hammered by the chemo. And when you talk to her, Karen, how are you doing? Oh, I'm fine. Hey, how are you? Look, it's not how I'm doing. I want to know how you're doing. What went with? Oh, well, we're fine. She's just gone in for, we're hoping God gives her some more time in this latest treatment, blah, 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 blah. And it was startling to everybody. I call him up, and candidly, I felt devastated. I said, oh no, I want it all to get better and not have reversals for her. So I call up her husband, Joe Bartle, same attitude she has. And I just feel, how do you bear the unbearable? How do you survive the unsurvivable? And I just feel crushed. I call him up. I said, hi, Joe. He said, hi, Paul, how you doing? I said, well, Joe, I'm doing fine, but that's not the question. How are you doing? Oh, we're serving God. We're right in there. Why? And he said, Karen's here. You want to talk to her? Sure. Karen, what's going on? Oh, yeah, well, we're just together, and they got this new treatment. We're going to try that. And I said, well, Karen, I'm concerned by the blah, blah, blah. And she said, oh, everybody has problems. Yeah. Sometimes we have an infected fingernail, you know, sometimes you get hit by a Kenworth. Her attitude is so overcoming. She sends out encouraging scriptures to everybody else every week. Yeah. Give me a million breaks. I got case after case after case of people who set the great examples for us. You go, Wow, that is amazing. A brother in Christ that Scott and I both know that was here and now is in Fort Scott, Kansas, was telling us just a week or two ago about a sister in Christ who has some problem with her left arm, went to the doctor. Oh, there's cancer in her, so involved in a circulatory system. We're going to have to amputate your arm. I go, oh, man, oh, that'd be overwhelming. How is she? She said, I'm fine. She's 85 years old, and they just amputated her arm. And she said, I can dress myself. I can cook. In fact, my daughter wanted to stay and help. I said, go home. I'm fine. How do you do that? A man was out here logged and was another logger up the hill, fell a tree, didn't hear it, paraplegic, and confined to a wheelchair, and poor circulation, and bit by bit, they amputated the feet, the legs, over decades, all the way up to the hips. To me, it just blows me away. I can't wrap my mind around it. His name, ironically, was Boots. And so I'd go in, and he wasn't a Christian, and I'd go into Boots, anybody ever offered you a Bible class? No. Would you like one? Yeah. Okay. Well, you want to start now? No, I got to go through this operation. But, you know, there's no guarantees. I'll be fine. He was, taught him the Bible. He was baptized. And just like Barry Bannon, never once complained. I said, Boots, I can't get my mind around this. Yeah. How do you deal with the amputations? He said, well, my legs weren't any good anyhow. He lived that Christian life, and never once complained. I go, oh, blows me away. But that's such a good example for all of us.
So Paul, you look at whether you're talking about examples of people that we know today, modern examples with the Barrys and the Karens and the Boots, or you talk about biblical examples, the Davids and the Jobs and the Hannahs, and you go through these examples, the Pauls, there's some consistency I find up to the pattern of what it takes to become an overcomer. That there's some character traits that godly people all share. Let's talk about that a little bit, because what I want to do is equip people to be overcomers, right? We don't want to just talk about, hey, isn't it great these people we know? But for everybody, understand you could be one of those people. You can become that no matter where you are right now. And God gives us the tools to do it. I mean, it's like Ephesians talking about the armor of God. It's like, it's not just other people who can be soldiers for Christ. You can put that armor on too. Put on the breastplate, grab your sword, drop your brain bucket on your head, get going. And so what are some of the tools that we see through the scriptures that people use, God gives us to become overcomers?
Great, great point. And as I thought about it, there's a lot of them. I have a mechanic's tool chest. I trained on that in early years. And I got all kinds of tools. I don't need all the tools all the time, but when I'm doing a brake job, I need blah, blah. And so it is in Christianity. The first thing that hit my mind is somebody says, oh, I'd like to be that kind of overcomer. I haven't been because of my past or attitudes or events or whatever. The first thing I'd ask is, and I think most of our audience would be, are you a Christian? And everybody would say, well, yeah. Now my next question, are you a committed Christian? Mm-hmm. Are you really signed on? Matthew 22 and verse 37, do you love the Lord with all your heart? Or is it?
Yeah.
No, I'm more of the Revelation 3:15. I'm a little to the lukewarm side. I mean, I show up, but I don't really do anything. And or you say, man, I'm there. Yeah. I am really hurting.
Yeah.
But I'm signed on. And the individuals that feel like, well, I come to church, but I just don't want people to know what I'm really into, which is whatever it is, something they shouldn't be into. And so then you think, well, you know, how about your confidence and trust? Well, I don't think God's very happy with me. And so the first thing is, hey, are you a member of the family?
Mm-hmm.
Are you a member of the family in good standing? Are you happy? And is God happy about your relationship to him? And so do you love him with all your heart? That's where you start. And when I'm saying our people, I mean, everybody who's watching this, they say, yeah, I can do better. And I'm going to with God's help. Scott.
And I think you bring up an important concept. It's you got to first be a Christian. You're not going to get every spiritual blessing if you're not in Christ. Every spiritual blessing is in Christ. So you have to be in him. But then once you come out of the water, once you are a Christian, you then have to say, I'm not going to be a lukewarm one. So are you committed to the journey of overcoming? Or we've all sat on the couch and watched the Olympics and go, man, wouldn't that be cool if I could swim that fast or run that far? And you go, yeah, but I'm sitting on the couch and I'd rather sit on the couch than go do the training those guys did. You know, and sometimes with overcoming, it's the same sort of thing. It's like, oh, I'd really like to be this just real strong Christian. Okay, well, you got to do more than like it. You gotta need it. It reminds me, there's a story, I don't know whether it's true or not, but of Homer Haley, who memorized just miles of scripture. He was just a guy who could just quote 90% of the Bible, it seemed like, off the top of his head. And somebody came up to him one time and said, I would give half my life to be able to know the scriptures like you. And he turned to him and he said, I gave all my life to know the scriptures like that. And that's really what it takes. You have to be all in if you're going to overcome. Along with that, I think you have to have an attitude of positivity. You have to really believe that all things are going to work together for good for those who love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose. That Romans 8:28 verse that we love to quote, but we don't always remember to live. Because if I know, no matter what happens, it's going to work out, I live a certain way. It's like, oh, tire blows out on the side of the road. Okay, well, apparently we need to get out and see the scenery a little bit. This will be okay. You know, I can think of a time where we were running late. And I hate running late. Just, I hate it with every fiber of my being. You know, if I'm driving somewhere and I see the clock and we're running behind, it's just like, I'm a 5-10 minutes early is on time kind of guy. So we were running late somewhere and then I hit another stoplight. And so that slowed us down. It's like, oh, and I'm just kind of getting stressed inside. Then we're driving down the freeway and a double trailer dump truck flipped and took the car that would have been where we would have been, killed everybody in. And I remember thinking after that, if we'd not been running late, that might have been my family, my kids, my wife. And so sometimes the reversals in your life are a blessing in disguise. And all things work together for good. The tire blows out. Maybe you don't need to be on the road right now. Maybe you need to be on the side of the road enjoying the scenery. There's a lot of things that go wrong in life that actually lead to everything going right. And if you begin to look at it that way, hey, good things happen. Great. Bad things happen. Those are good too.
The people out here in the Northwest would be aware. As we're in Tacoma, which is a city, I'll just say 25 miles south of Seattle. And in March 15th of 2020, we got shut down with COVID. In June 21st, March, April, May, 3 months later, we had an arson attack on our building. A woman maybe in her 20s on Father's Day at 3:45 in the morning set a fire in the back at night, burned for an hour and a half before anybody even noticed it. And it has now exceeded $500,000 in damage. The insurance company took care of it. And I had to sign a note that, look, we have the picture of the gal. We have the fingerprints of the gal. We don't know the gal. It's not somebody we treated badly, whether she doesn't. And people, why? I don't know. She hears voices. Likes bright things, doesn't like men, doesn't like fathers, doesn't like Christians. Nobody knows.
Yeah, no idea.
But on the flip side, that's all insurance covered. We've got new carpets, new cameras, new everything. And how about that? And the rebuild took place when we couldn't well assemble anyhow. We said, that's okay. And people say, Paul, didn't that devastate you? No, it didn't devastate me. Nobody died. Mm-hmm. It just was a little more work, but we got it for free. And so, but think about the hundreds of things that happen to us in life. If our attitude really is, this will have, the thing may not be good, but it'll have a good result. It'll really be a blessing.
Well, and along those lines, Paul, I know, see, Paul won't say this, but with all of the arson and then all these contractors and whatnot coming into the building, Paul's had to kind of function somewhat like a general contractor for their rebuild. And whenever I talk to Paul, I ask, oh, how have you been doing? He's like, oh, I've been talking to this contractor and we got to talk about Jesus and he's having conversations, spiritual conversations with painters and sheetrockers and asbestos removal crews. And it reminds me of how the Apostle Paul would say, hey, because I'm in jail, I've got a captive audience with the prison guards. So they're going to hear the gospel. So sometimes those things that we see as reversals are actually an opportunity for the gospel. You wouldn't talk to those sheetrock guys if that hadn't happened. So sometimes it's just God's got a different plan and we've got to learn to roll with it. But if you have a positive attitude that all things will work together, then those things take care of themselves. Along with that, I think having a spirit of gratitude, you have that idea of in everything giving thanks. And then I know, Paul, for you, one of your favorite verses, and I'm kind of bouncing around here a little bit, so I apologize for that, is in Daniel. And can you talk for a second about your favorite verse there in Daniel chapter 11, right?
11. Historically, I tended to be a procrastinator. Oh, I'll get to that, but I'll make this phone call later. That's a tough one, and you put off, and sooner or later, and I mean to, want to, but Daniel 11:32, and I use B, meaning particularly the second half of the verse. My preference is New American Standard, but I particularly like the wording there. He's really talking about the Maccabean times, and here is all the Seleucids, and they're going to try to persecute you and do all this stuff. And Daniel says, but those who know their God will display strength and take action. Boom. That's definitive. Well, I should start one of these times, and sooner or later, but it's hard, and beside that, the car isn't starting. You determine today's the day, I'm the person, and now's the time. And how much do you mean? You're 100% in. Yep. Well, I was never a really good athlete, but I am really steadfast. And so mine is just never give up, never give in, and you wear them down. And so that aspect is you display strength. That's hard to do, but that's worth doing. Okay, well, there's what's involved in it? Well, to solve that problem, let's say there's five things. And the first thing, I need some information. I got to make that phone call that I don't want to make. Okay, I'm going to make it. When? I'm going to make it at 7:30, whether morning or evening. Let's say 7:30 in the evening. But they don't think they want to talk to me and I'll sound foolish. It's 7:30. Now it's time to pick up that phone. You are not going to let that clock tick past. You're going to take action. And that begins that momentum of, I can do that. Wow. And things start happening.
Yeah, you talk to people who are successful at things, and at some point they stopped waiting to be perfect at it before they tried. And they just said, I'm just going to do it. So if I've got to call that person, I'm just going to pick up the phone. You know, you have marriage problems. Well, what are you going to do about it? Well, you can't do everything at once, but we're going to call a marriage counselor and put it on the calendar, right? I can't fix everything in my marriage, but I know she hates it that I don't take out the trash. So I'm going to set an alarm on my phone and I'm always going to do that. It's not everything, but it's a start, right? I missed all the other Valentine's days, but I'll get it right this year, right? Reminder, man, I think that's Sunday.
Thank you.
you're going to do something. Right? The journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. I mean, we have these kind of cliche sayings, but there's a lot of truth to them. You display strength and you take action. Overcomers do something instead of waiting for the perfect action to show up. They choose an action, and then that turned into another action, another and another and another. And so you just, you kind of go with it. Another thing that I think people who overcome do is we can make the mistake sometimes and say, oh, they're an optimist because they don't know what's going on. You know, the optimist is, they sugarcoat it and they're always pretending things are better than what they are. I actually find the opposite. People who overcome, they know exactly what the problem is. People who don't overcome, they are the ones who tend to sugarcoat. Like the guy who's on the edge of bankruptcy, if you have a guy come into your office, Paul, and talk to you about finances, one of the first things I know I do is I say, well, how in debt are you? And you know what the answer is? I'm not going to say 9 times out of 10. I'm going to say 99 out of 100 times you ask somebody who's just in total financial quagmire, what's their answer when you ask how much debt you're in?
Well, what I get is, well, a little bit, not too much. And well, how much? And if you start peeling back the layers, what? Okay, that's $14,000. Okay, well, what about that? Oh, well, there was that too. Well, wait a minute, that's another $25,000.
That's right.
Well, yeah, but what about this? Well, yeah, there were some loans I took out. Well, that's $40,000. It's way
worse. The answer is they actually don't know most of the time, right? That you're trying to peel back those layers so you can figure out to help them. But the truth is they've never added the numbers up themselves. So that's I've heard the same thing. It's like, well, wait a second. Well, how much do you owe on this? How much on this? That's a good question. Probably about this. People who are better. Yep, I know we're right about at time there, right? People who are good at overcoming, they get the facts. They know I owe this, and now we hunt it down and kill it. These are the problems we're facing. This is how we're gonna conquer them. So all of those sorts of things, I think, pile together to show that people who overcome, they get the facts and they have wisdom to really know what's going on. They don't hide from the truth. If it's ugly and the problem is big, let's understand exactly how big it is. And then we can face it. Then we can scale the cliff.
Let me do this without doing the full background and so forth. Let me just hit a couple of things quick. You say, Paul, what else is involved? Get the facts, Proverbs 14:33. Improve your self-talk. Quit saying I can't. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. And allow for God's timing. I want it now. It should have been, the best time to plant a tree, you all know, is when? 20 years ago. The second best time is right now. And so allow for God's timing. Psalm 27:14, wait on the Lord, be strong. So Christians, you're facing tough things, but God has prepared you to be a tough person. Carry on, soldier. Scott?
Yeah. When we talk about being people who overcome, there's a couple of verses that pop to my mind as just kind of the pivotal ideas. One is Proverbs 24:16. The righteous man falls 7 times and he gets back up again. That concept that really overcoming is just a matter of failing over and over and over again and not letting the failure define you. Paul and I have a mutual friend, and he has a saying that he uses because he does a lot of coaching of Alcoholics Anonymous meetings. And he says, every time you fail is one time closer to the time you won't fail at all. And so don't give up. That's the number one thing. And then the other thing is when I think of Revelation 12. So in Revelation 12, you have the church, and they're just going to face this unbelievable persecution. And many of them are going to die for their faith. And Revelation 12, verse 11 says, and they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even when faced with death. You overcome when you decide that some things are worth dying for. Some things are worth giving your life for. I would much rather die in the process of serving the Lord than get stuck in a mediocre life. And that Laodicean lukewarm, we don't want it. We would rather go into the heart of and the belly of the beast, right? And face the demons, face the trials. And if I die, I die. Okay. But I lived doing something worthwhile. And the reality is most of the time when you face it with that kind of purpose, you don't die. You're like, oh, it wasn't as bad as what I thought. But when you approach it with that mentality, then you're ready to overcome. Thanks so much, Paul, for taking the time to do this and getting up in the morning and meeting with Theron and I. Theron, we'll pass it over to you so you can plug for the next program. Exactly. And say whatever needs to be said.
Yeah, very quickly. A great program, gentlemen. Some inspiring, not only biblical examples, but some real world examples, of course. And I appreciate, Scott, that you stepped in, because I was going to make the point that I, for one, am encouraged by people's real world examples, that people can really live the faith, they can have attitudes, and they can be overcomers, because that's inspiring. But there's sometimes a part of us that goes, well, I can never do that. And Scott, I definitely appreciated that you went back and looked at what does it take not only to identify the overcomers and want to be like them, but to become like them. And it's not that their strength is all in their own. Their strength is in the Lord. And that's always the foundation we built on. Gentlemen, this was a great hour. We need to do this again. We absolutely need. We need to have you two gentlemen on again. This has been a fantastic discussion. Very, very encouraging. And we are so thankful that everybody has spent a little bit of time with us. And this will be on the website. It'll be on Facebook, the video and the audio, so we can go back and listen to it again. And thank you, gentlemen. We look forward to having you on again, hopefully sometime soon.
Genuine pleasure. Scott and I like each other. And it's just great to work together, too.
Thanks, Theron. And yeah, Paul, anytime we get to talk, I enjoy it. It's great.
Double good. God bless everybody.
Hey, take care, everyone.